My name's Lachie Patterson. I was born in Carradale, grew up in the village until the last year of primary school. So all my memories were in Carradale Primary School. Unfortunately, by the last year of my primary school, because of family situation, I moved from Carradale. So I stayed with an aunt and uncle, very dear aunt and uncle, in Finnart in Loch Long. My uncle worked for BP at the oil terminal there, and my aunt, who was my mother's sister, brought me up for the next 5 or 6 years. So I went to school in Helensburgh, along with my two cousins, Angus and Alec. But with regard to that, Carradale was where I really wanted to be. So every holiday I could get, I was back in Carradale, staying mostly with the McDougall family, who were great friends of my own parents. That was Mary and Nini and Dorothy's mother and father, Alec and Cathy McDougall. So summer holidays were spent there, Easter holidays, etc. And what sticks in my mind at that period was just that longing to get back to Carradale, because that's where you wanted to be. But going back to the school days in Carradale, I think at least four I can think of my class are still in the village, which is quite unusual. I think we had a class of 9 or 10 at that point. Great teachers in Carradale School at that point. We had a Miss Patterson, who was the infants teacher, and then you moved into the middle kind of years, and that was a Miss Gilbraith, Peggy, who was a great teacher as well. And then as you went into primary 6 and 7, that was Donald McCallum, who was just the most fantastic, inspirational teacher. But school was great in those days. The usual thing, I suppose, with boys at that time, what fascinated you was the usual football, and especially my love was fishing. Growing up on the Shore Road in Carradale, we didn't really, strange as it may seem, we didn't really go up to the rest of the village. So the Broomfield, Woodside, where the main part of the village is, all the kind of kids your own age would play in that area. The Shore Road was my kind of area of operation. So you were on the rocks, you were on the beach, you were at the pier, the real hub of the village. Boats, was just fascinated with fishing because your family was involved in that. So really, we didn't stray too far from the Shore Road. Your whole world was contained within a very small stretch of the village. This had everything. This was your whole world here. We had a lot of boats, we had the shops. So even staying in the Shore Road, you had Port Crannog stores, and you had Omens, which was the kind of Harrods of the village. You know, as I say, anything from a needle to an anchor, and probably anything else in between. So yeah, only happy memories of that time. Fishing, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, you went out in the boats as soon as you could, really, because at that time it was all herring fishing. It was predominantly ring netting, which, you know, I know we can all get a wee bit dewy-eyed about the past, and that's true, because it was a unique way of catching. Had its ups and downs. There's no way of sugarcoating what the fishing was like then. There was lean periods, and then there was times when there was plenty, because herring fishing was fickle, to say the least. But it had this kind of aura about it. They truly were the last of the hunters, the men that prosecuted that. Carradale boats generally then were, even the fishermen were kind of conservative-minded, and I mean that with a very small C. They fished and they lived quite modestly. There were no huge aspirations to invest heavily in boats, which had its downfalls as well. But they probably kind of locked into the herring in a way that other ports moved on and built bigger boats and newer boats, and we kind of were a wee bit stuck in the times. We never saw the big changes coming that was heralded by the 70s, and as a consequence, we're some ways maybe left behind a wee bit, in other ways not, but in some ways, I think we did suffer from that. As I said, herring fishing was just the end all and be all. The attraction of leaving on a very mild, warm summer's night, fishing for 4 or 5 or 6 hours until daylight. One boat was away to market, either Tarbert or Ayr. You talk about tourist attractions, that was the highlight of any visitor's holiday. Similarly with young locals like myself who were going out in the boats, you just fell in love with it. And I suppose I often say it to people, back then there was no such things as celebrity pop stars and all this celebrity razzmatazz. Our heroes were the fishermen. So when you were young, it was always who had fought last night. The heroes of our day were Red Archie had 200 baskets, and Big Bob had 300, and Nona had 200, and so forth. Wee Jim. So when you were, I can remember about 8 or maybe 9. We all had bikes in those days. You were pretending you were a boat going up and down the shore road in a bike, and it was kind of nonsense stuff. But it showed this maybe the simplicity of life back then. And all you ever wanted to do when you left school was be a fisherman. Summer visitors then, there was a different economy about the place. We were dependent on summer visitors. Every house, you would go into the back shed as it was for the summer. And you let the front house or the big house out to the tourists, as it were, which was great because that was the extra income in the summer months. So from about May until September time, the last of the letters would go, and then we were delighted to get back into the big house, as it was. Then upon leaving school in Helensburgh, this is, I really wanted to come back to Carradale. Really longed for it, but there was a kind of feeling that you should do something else, which was going to be the Merchant Navy, but I wanted to go fishing. So the kind of compromise was to leave school. And at that time, there was still a deep sea fishing fleet from Hull and Grimsby and predominantly Fleetwood. And I became a trawler cadet from Hull. I had fancy ideas of, big boats, 200 odd foot boats. I wasn't going to be bothered with Carradale boats by this time. It was the big time. Every idea I had about that was soon scuttled after 32 days at Iceland, which I absolutely hated. So I just can't tell you how quick I hightailed it back to Carradale, and thank goodness for that. And I've been here ever since. That was my foray into foreign lands. So come back to Carradale. The ring net was very much in the wane by this time. Two or three of the real warriors were still doing it. Those men who still wanted to stick with the more traditional ways were seasonally going to the ring net. But by that time, the boats had got slightly bigger, they had more engine power, and the way of catching herring had changed. So they were pair trawling for herring, which was a much easier way, but also a much more efficient way. So this, I'm talking now 1973, 74, and I went aboard with a man called Colin Campbell, who had the foresight to build a new boat, 1971, called the Silver Fern 2. And throughout the 70s, he was certainly, as far as Carradale's concerned, had the foresight and the ambition to be successful at that. She was a more modern boat, built for the job, highly powered, and we fished herring most of the 70s. By which time, quite a lot of the younger men in the village who had been fishing for maybe 10 years had all bought their own boats. So the village was in a real kind of upward trajectory, I would say, at that time. There was maybe six or eight boats come into the fleet during the 70s, and they put in bigger engines and all were successful at catching herring too. And that continued into the early 80s. And by that time, probably due to a combination of other factors, we can't rule out maybe too much pressure in stocks, but also there were other factors contributing to it. The herring were saying less plentiful, and the fishing changed into a pattern of more. You were either at scallops or you were prawning whitefish kind of seasonally. And that kind of drifted through the 80s and into the 90s. There was a big change kind of happened then. The fishing went into a wee bit of a downward spiral early 90s. And that had a big impact in the village, because the traditional way of getting into the fishing was you kind of followed your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and so forth. By the early 90s, that kind of model was over. Lots of young men were leaving school, and girls traditionally always had to leave the village. But the younger men were leaving, and rather than going to the fishing, they were seeking other employment, clear. And that really, looking back, you know, with the usual 2020, we're seeing that was the big change in the village. In many ways, the economy changed, because I hope not to be overstating the importance of fishing to Carradale, but it really, that's where the money, the main income in the village came from. So the shops, of which there were several at that time, the local hotel was really busy. That was the real hub of the village, the real kind of beating heart of the village, where fishermen, well, everybody would meet, but predominantly fishermen. And if the fishing was good, there was money to be spent. The shops were busy. The boats obviously got their provisions from either, you know, Donald Campbell's stores over at the other end of the village, or from the baker's shop right in the village. So if you had 20 boats and upwards of 70 men employed, it was a fair bit of income, even for the shops, guaranteed every week. But as I say, by then, young men weren't attracted to the fishing in the way they used to be. And that changed. You know, you could see slippage happening. The hotel, which had been owned in the same family for 80 years, it changed hands. Donald Campbell's, another institution, the same, it changed hands. So the old kind of families of the village, they were kind of, there were no succession probably. And yeah, things changed hands and things moved along. There's always change. Nothing ever stands still. And I think, you know, with regards to the village, we do have mentioned the kind of rose-coloured glasses of how it used to be a wee bit. My idea of the village now, much as we say, oh, it's not the way it used to be, it never will be. The fishing pattern has changed. You know, we know what the issues are there. It's not going to come back. There's no point in harking back. The shops aren't going to be back. Everything changes. Everything moves on. You know, I kind of remain positive about the village, because I think we're at a point now where there's a big kind of cultural change. Lots of the houses that maybe formerly were just holiday homes are being bought from people, for people and by people who are making Carradale their permanent home, which I think will take maybe 2 or 3 years to kind of crystallise. And then I think and I hope that the village will take on a different direction again. And I'm sure it will, because it's resilient and things in Carradale never change. You know, look at the views, look at the natural features we've got. You know, and I kind of look at businesses that have established here. When people talk about the village, oh, it's this, it's that, it's the next thing. You've got to look at the bright spots in the village, of which, you know, just off the top of my head, you're looking at somebody like Mike and Trish Hurst that started off the jewellery foundry. Goodness, I'm sure it must be 72 or 73 when I'm talking about leaving school. So at least 50-odd year ago. At one time, they employed 14, 15 people in the village. And you compare that to fishing, where now, sadly, there's one local. There's one last leaf left in the tree, to quote Tom Waits. And he's, you know, you've one young fisherman. There's other boats fish from the village, but not locally crewed. But Mike and Trish have consistently employed local people. And now you've got Neil and Emma with the distillery, the gin distillery, and all the business, the holiday lets they've got, the cafe at Torristel. You've got the young David and Siobhan that's got the Blackbird Tea Room doing well. You've got Colin Burgess that bought Carradale Estate and runs a great caravan park at the end of the Carradale Bay. And you've got, you know, you've got the Glen with me and Bill, you've got the hotel, you've got Ash Bank with John and Sharn. Who would have thought we would have had a hairdresser's in Carradale? You know, right next to the post office, you know, Michael and Anik have got the hairdressers. It shows you that, you know, thinking out the box, things can happen. It's going to take a big leap, I know, but I'm pretty confident that we're seeing a kind of reorganisation of the village. It will happen. I would hate to think that we're just going to be in terminal decline. I don't subscribe to that at all.